are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the union. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about, we go way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, we're glad you're with us. It is indeed Camel Day. It is Hump Day. It is halfway through the week. And if you didn't hear it earlier, maybe we'll just get lucky and Boomer will play the camel for us again later on. But right now, let's jump on in. So the triple dipper today, the very first one, I'm titling it, again, National Insecurity, because that's too often what we see and feel in the Biden era. Does anybody know? If you know, you're welcome to text it to me, 833-68-RIGHT. If you know what the Biden foreign policy or military strategy is for anything, please let me know, because I don't think anybody does know. I don't think they know. Here's the first thing out the gate. If you have not heard, there's a bit of an update, and I'm trying to track down pieces of it, because there was a press conference right as we're on the air. There was a press conference with Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin and Army General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs. They were doing a presser regarding the incident that occurred yesterday over the Black Sea. So picture, if you can, where Crimea is. Ukraine is. Ukraine has the Crimean Peninsula. It's almost shaped like Texas toward the bottom there, where it kind of goes down into the Gulf. Well, this is where Crimea goes down into the Black Sea. And the Black Sea is not controlled by anybody. It is considered international waters. Well, nonetheless, a MQ-9 Reaper drone, one of our very advanced combat drones, was flying over international waters, we're told, and two Russian Sukhoi fighters, they're Su-27s, I believe, Su-27 Russian fighters, apparently, and I was going to say it this way, apparently attacked it, did not launch missiles, didn't shoot it. So I've got one article here from military.com. Military.com says that the two Russian jets forced the Air Force MQ-9 drone to crash in international waters. All right, so they brought it down. A move that could be considered an unintended escalation of tensions in the region. So the way it worked out apparently was, on Tuesday morning yesterday, a U.S. Air Force MQ-9 drone was flying in international space, we're told, over the Black Sea. Two Russian Su-27 jets, and I find this to be a very benign way to describe it, conducted an unsafe and unprofessional intercept. How about this? They attacked our drone. And by the way, don't think for a second that this drone is just, well, it's just a little drone. It's a $56 million combat aircraft. It may not have a pilot in it, but it's a $56 million asset that we just lost. It says one of the Russian Su-27 aircraft struck the propeller. What are they doing to actually hit the propeller? I mean, were they trying to land on top of it? What were they doing? But it says one of the Russian Su-27 aircraft struck the propeller of the MQ-9, causing U.S. forces to have to bring the MQ-9 down in international waters. So it crash-landed. Several times before the collision, the Su-27s actually dumped fuel on. So they're literally messing with it. They're flying around it. They're getting extremely close to it. They flew low and dumped fuel on it. They dropped down in front of it, it says, at one point, several times. Extremely reckless. They're calling it reckless and unprofessional. That is just such a benign way of saying it. They took down our Predator, our Reaper. When asked about the incident, Pentagon spokesman Brigadier General Pat Ryder said it was whether or not we could see the footage of the incident. He said that they're working on a declassification process to see if they can show it. Now, this is an extremely high-tech $56 million asset. And the Russians, in international waters allegedly, took it down. Now what happens? I don't know. Stories up right now on CBS saying that there is some concern the Russians are going to try and retrieve the wreckage. Why would that matter? Well, because the wreckage would have technology that if they could get it to Tehran, who makes the drones for Russia, they could reverse engineer it and find out certain things about the manner in which it's controlled, how to take it down in the future, or perhaps how to build their own. So Mark Milley apparently said Moscow will work to retrieve the wreckage of the American drone that crashed in the Black Sea after Washington said a Russian fighter collided with it. And I look at that and think, wow, really? So I hope he's not saying that they're coordinating with Moscow to recover it. Surely not. It needs to be us recovering it. At the same press conference at the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said he spoke with Russian Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu, but Austin said he wouldn't provide details of their discussion at this time. Okay. The United States will continue to fly and to operate wherever international law allows, and it is incumbent upon Russia to operate its military aircraft in a safe and professional manner, Austin said. They're using this whole word about professional. It's unprofessional. Let's try to be more professional. I get it, sort of, but how about we just go ahead and say what this is? This is a provocative move. If we're truly flying a drone over international waters and they intercepted it and downed it, a $53 million drone, you have to look at that as nothing less than provocative. So as we're considering matters that are of national insecurity, consider this. The Russians are either A, emboldened, or B, more stupid than they were before, or maybe both. I mean, for all we know, they've gone through so many of their troops and their pilots that maybe these guys have, sort of been given the stick and they're flying far less capable or professional individuals, which is a bad idea. All right, in the same vein, sticking with national insecurity, TheHill.com has an article that came out 2 days ago. Pentagon budget puts a focus on munitions production. Apparently, the Pentagon is getting concerned about the level to which we are supplying Ukraine and depleting our own resources. It says the details of the Defense Department's $842 billion budget request for the fiscal year 2024 revealed Monday boosts arm makers with $30.6 billion for missiles and munitions, which is 12% more than what was enacted last year. So the military-industrial complex is making out like a bandit right now. Says it also employs multi-year contracts that are typically reserved for ships and aircraft, which allows defense companies to make weapons in bulk and count on steady production. What does that mean? Normally, these defense contracts have been short-term, year to year, 2 to 3 years. But when they start doing multi-year contracts, it's like building a ship. You can't give somebody a one-year contract to build a ship. So they have a multi-year contract. It gives them stability. They know that they're the ones who are going to do it. You're not going to shift, to another contractor in midstream. So if they're going to be doing that on everything, moving to multi-year contracts on, munitions, low-level, like TOW missiles, who knows? I'm just saying, I'm throwing them out there. Artillery, M4 rifles, I don't know. But if they're doing multi-year contracts, what it means is the defense industry knows that they've got consistency and they'll be spending money and building stuff for a long time. Says the latest budget expands production capacity even more and procures the maximum amount of munitions that are most relevant. And a lot of this is related to long-range fires like hypersonic missiles and subsonic weapons. Anyway, all that to say, folks, it is tense right now. The war in Ukraine. I mean, I got some feelings about this. I don't know how y'all feel about it. Here's my thoughts on this. We have got to get hold of the checkbook, all right? You can't just keep writing blank checks, because when you do, the lack of accountability becomes just onerous. And so what we're looking at right now is the Biden administration has no policy they can tell us about. Their policy, we're with you to the end. When's the end? What goals? What milestones? What clawbacks do you have in case something goes wrong that we can stop things? Do you just give them the money? Or do you have somebody who is paying for things for them as they go? I mean, what's the plan here? Well, I don't know that there is one. And I have yet to ever hear anybody label a doctrine that we're going through. So that being said, national insecurity, the war in Ukraine is starting to have an effect upon issues here at home. Because right now we're looking at budget needs that are designed in part to refill the coffers for those who have, been, or for those places that have been depleted to help support Ukraine. I don't want Russia to win. Russia deserves to be backhanded on this thing. Just backhand them. But at some point, when's Europe going to do its part? When is Europe truly going to kick in and say, you know what, it's our backyard? I'm hearing that Poland is looking at doubling the size of their military. I'm hearing the Baltic states are standing by going, oh, no, what do we do? Germany is still very reticent because they know they're so tied to the energy sector coming out of Russia. But this is going to have to be picked up more and more by Europe, period. No way around it. We can't be over there depleting our resources to the extent that we have been. But right now, though, we've got an administration with no plan. Just, let's do it. And just sending stuff. I keep thinking, do they have special pictures of Biden in a drawer somewhere that we don't know about? What's the deal? All right, let's bring it home. We're gonna switch gears here. I'm going to take a break right now. We'll come back from the break, though, and let's talk about what's happening in terms of national insecurity here at home. Southern border. And, oh, by the way, how about the northern border? We'll talk about it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it's good bumps. It's good bumps, Booms. Good bumps.
Good bumps.
Good bumps. Hey, listen, national insecurity, number one on the triple dipper. Let's talk about another piece of the national insecurity discussion, the U.S. border. Now, I will point out to you, too, Charlene actually pointed out to me this morning, Governor Sununu, Republican governor up in New Hampshire, he's calling on the Biden administration to do something about the northern border. Now, New Hampshire has roughly 51 miles of Canadian border, and they're saying right now that their border crossings are way up, right? And it's to be expected. I mean, when you start shifting assets, and then also you got people who are crafty enough to figure out, oh, wait a minute, southern border is kind of a mess. I'll put on a jacket and go to the northern border. So they fly into Canada and then just hike their way on down. And we're like right now, for instance, Customs and Border Protection in New Hampshire said they had 13,000 encounters. Now, that's nothing like what they're seeing. They see that in a day down in Texas or Arizona, the southern border area combined. But nonetheless, they've seen 13,000 encounters at the northern border just in January. And then that's double what they had this time last year. So it's 13 times as many as what they had in 2021. I mean, it's an amazing increase. It's a very disturbing trend. And Sununu is saying, hey, Mayorkas, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, he's saying Department of Homeland Security, you got to give us some assets or let us do it as a state. Well, let's talk about that. Because did you see, Boomer, did you see the story about the bridge in El Paso where roughly 1,000 illegals decided to try and rush the bridge and cross over?
I heard about it.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Yes.
I've seen the video. And I'm told that what happened was, and they believe they attribute it to the cartels, a Facebook posting, because a lot of these migrants, they track, you know, certain things through social media. And they were told, at this bridge, if you come in, they'll let you in without trouble, and so they just rush that bridge. Well, then you get there, and a lot of them, which I believe were from, where were they from? Either Guatemala or Venezuela, but nonetheless, an estimated crowd of roughly 1,000 decided to rush the bridge. Y'all, this is like a wave of people coming over. Story here in the Post-Millennial. The El Paso border was heavily armed with Mexican military and U.S. Customs and Border Protection on Sunday, when at least 1,000 migrants tried to rush through the checkpoint. Customs Border Patrol did what they call implementing port hardening measures, and it was pretty impressive. The bridge was blocked. I mean, they had to shut down that entire bridge. It was blocked with concrete barriers and fencing and concertina wire. And the footage that I saw literally has the crowd rushing and trying to force their way into the United States. 1,000 people in a wave trying to force their way into one port of entry. And when they couldn't get there, they began to move to other ports of entry in the area. They also had to harden up the bridges at Stanton, which is nearby, and the Bridge of the Americas. Y'all, this is unbelievable to me. So what you're seeing up in New Hampshire, it may not seem near as big. Nonetheless, it's big to them, and it's still part of our border. So don't think this is isolated to Texas and Arizona and parts of California. Apparently not. Because the northern border is now experiencing issues. And you got Sununu up in New Hampshire saying, look, if you can't do it, we'll do it. And I cannot help but remember just back when I was in the Senate, we passed an illegal immigration bill in 2011, I believe. And most of it was enjoined in the courts right away because, oh, how dare you take these stands? We were way ahead of ourselves. You may remember my friend Scott Beeson, who hosts his own radio show here in the state as well. He was a sponsor of the bill. And we were so far ahead of our time. We had a bill to do exactly what I'm about to tell you is being done in other places, to just basically say, hey, federal government, if you won't do it, we'll just do it for you. Well, Sununu is saying they want to put state resources to work, and they want to know that they're going to be allowed to do it. And then I got a story here from Fox. Texas Republicans push legislation to create a border protection unit, a state border protection unit. So where you have National Guard and state troopers and other things in a natural disaster, you're also going to have, potentially in Texas, a new entity called the Border Protection Unit that would allow its officers to arrest, detain, and deter individuals crossing the border illegally, including with the use of non-deadly force. I don't know this has ever been done. I mean, it's one thing to augment federal authorities because Customs and Border Patrol, it's an international border, so therefore CBP has the authorities on the border, unless they ask for augmentation, at which point you're usually subordinate to CBP when you do that. We're talking about right now the state of Texas forming its own border protection unit that can arrest, detain, and deter. It would also give authorities in that unit immunity from criminal and civil liability, which they should have as officers under the proposed law. In addition, civilians who have not been convicted of a felony can be invited by the unit's chief to be a participant. People arrested for crossing into Texas illegally would face 10 years in prison, up to $10,000 each fine. That'll get their attention. Look out, Arizona. They're all coming your way. Another bill introduced in the state Senate would make it a state crime for people who forego illegal immigration proceedings and cross into Texas illegally. So what we're seeing here is in the absence of a plan, in the absence of a true effort, in the absence of a doctrine of any kind, in the absence of leadership, the 10th Amendment says the states have a sovereign right to do certain things. And guess what? States are beginning to say, enough of this. States are beginning to say the same thing we said when I was in the Senate a few years back, and we went through all kinds of crap and were maligned. Oh, this is you're just trying to make a problem and find a solution to, you know, to, or, you know, whatever. I mean, the protests we had in the hallways of the state Senate, I mean, they were elbowing us in the ribs, going down the hallways, trying to keep us from voting. It was ridiculous. And now here we are, just a few years forward. And states are having to do it again, and they're just facing an onslaught, even to the point that you got 1,000, a crowd of 1,000 illegals. The audacity of this. We demand entry into your country. We will rush it. This is not illegal immigration. This is an invasion at this point. When you've got groups of 1,000 trying to rush a port of entry and force their way in, what were they going to do? Were they gonna force their way in, knock down the barricades, and just start running and go wherever they feel like? That's what their plan was, apparently. This crap's got to stop. National insecurity. All right, we'll come back and put a pin in it. Talk about some things that are going on internationally, like with Russia and nuclear weapons. Oh, yeah. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. all you right side ruffians out there.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studios. We got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, covering down on all of the issues like the dude just said. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, the text lines are going. Got a new texter in there. Clay from ARAB. Clay, we're glad you're in, man. Thanks for being a part of it. Sweet. Boomer Clay's in there. I got his name and address there for you, so you can plug that in. Brad from Limestone County, he's working out the math on the cost of an MQ-9 Reaper for the actual proposed budget. Well, I'm not sure I'm tracking. Oh, okay, he's basically saying we're spending so much money even though we got this huge $30 trillion deficit. I get it, man. Brian from Huntsville texts in and says, I wish that Black Sea drone had Corbomite on it. It's a Star Trek thing. Okay. A self-destruct would have been nice. Yeah, no doubt. Andrew from Tony says, these states need to stop threatening the Fed in hopes that they start moving to secure the border. These states should just do it. Homeland Security isn't going to do anything. I think that's true. I think what's happening here, Andrew, is they have to have a paper trail showing that they told the federal government that they needed help, and when they didn't get it, then they left him with no recourse. But if they just jump in there and do it without asking or saying something about it, then someone can come back and say, you failed to give us adequate notice, which, you know, you shouldn't have to do. That's my only thing I can say, is it's an opportunity for them to call out the feds, show the world that they're not participating the way they should, and then make those decisions they got to make. Hey, before I jump back into the Triple Dipper, Boomer, you've been slaving over there. Slaving, my brother.
Slaving.
What is this project you are? Pray tell.
So
Boomer,
what have you done? So the March Madness stuff, there's some people that haven't submitted their picks. They're in our group. They're under the Right Side Ruffian bracket, but they haven't pushed submit on their actual picks. Maybe I hope they're studying their stats. But I'm just putting up instructions on the website, the same place where you would click to join the bracket. You're going to see a little icon, not yet, probably in about another 20 minutes or so, a little icon that says instructions to join bracket, and you can click that. And it's going to give you, you know, just instructions on how to do it and little pictures on what to click and stuff.
You did that for me, didn't you?
I did that for you.
Turd. All right.
So that's what I'm working on right now.
I still remember. So he's by the way, he's trying to make this as foolproof as possible. And you have to do this by noon tomorrow. Is that right? Noon tomorrow,
yes,
Eastern time?
By noon tomorrow.
Noon Eastern.
Yeah. Just trying to help you all out if you need help with this type of stuff.
Yeah, because first tip-off is tomorrow night.
That's right. All right, at noon.
Oh, it's at noon?
Yeah, that's why. Tip off is then.
Phil's following it real
closely.
So
by the time we are done with our show tomorrow, there will already be leaders.
Ooh. And some of us may have already been dropped out.
Some of us may be already out of it.
If I lose the first two on the bracket, I'm done. But talking about technology, I can still remember my we called her Granny, my granny.
Mm-hmm.
And she was one of those who, she had her ways. She'd been doing things a certain way for a long time. Cooked the best fried okra in an iron skillet, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
And but I remember we got her a microwave for Christmas, and my dad was showing her, and he goes, look, Mother, you can boil an egg in here. And she goes, I know how to boil an egg. And then he goes, and he's showing her, he's pushing the buttons. He goes, look, Mother, all you got to do is push the buttons, just like a phone. She goes, I have a dial phone. It's like she was going to resist that thing to the very end. All right. Hey, let me jump back over here to I got a couple more texts. Let me see what they are real quick. We got a brand new, she didn't tell, her name is Pat, that's all I know. So Pat, thank you. She says, as the widow of an Army veteran, I so appreciate your tribute to Vietnam vets. My husband served two tours in Vietnam, 63 and 64, as a Huey pilot, and then 67 to 68, flying Mohawk surveillance over Cambodia. Yeah, wow. The Ho Chi Minh Trail. He had over 1,000 combat hours, 20, like your father or grandfather, can't remember which, never talked about his tours. He died from the effects of Agent Orange. My son's also a retired Army helicopter pilot, and his son is currently serving as a helicopter pilot in the National Guard. Thanks again for what you do, and God bless you, Pat. Pat, thank you so much for that. Thank you for your family service. Thank you for your service, by the way. So often, the spouses who hold down the fort while the service member is you know overseas, they get forgotten in the discussions. And I can tell you right now, Charlene was amazing, just absolutely amazing. So that's my sweet love. But anyway, Pat, thanks for that. By the way, Pat, text us in, tell us where you're from so we can plug it in, and we'll get you in the system. Boomer says, and JT wants to know, Boomer, are these fill instructions you're putting together? Thank you, JT. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you very much. He'll be in the area all day. Is there a prize for winning the bracket, or is this just for fun? Bryant, where have you been? Bryant from Huntsville. There are prizes for the winner. It's swag, man. We're going to have right side stuff. So, yeah, get in there and get you a good bracket. John from Huntsville getting serious on me. He says, this crash drone incident is a scripted material for a new Top Gun movie. Maybe. And I had another text about the, darn it, where'd it go? I had another texter about the, here it is, Bill from, all it says is Bill from North Alabama. He says, was Bill in the Grove. I think that's down in Pleasant Grove, so I guess. He says, was the downing an incidental opportunity to get hold of an MQ-9, or was it an intentional downing to get access to an MQ-9? Yeah, incidental or intentional? I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what, it was intentional to screw with this drone. I don't know that it was intentional to knock it out of the sky, but what else do they think was going to happen when you're buzzing it like that, dumping fuel on it in mid-flight, and then you get so close that you actually clip the rotors on the propeller and it goes down? All right, let's talk about Russia for a minute. 1945.com has a piece. Russian President Vladimir Putin's regime has consistently signaled the Ukraine war could trigger Moscow's use of nuclear weapons. Says at the end of February, which is what, 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, former Russian leader Dmitry Medvedev said the world faces a nuclear apocalypse if the West continues to arm Ukraine with advanced weaponry. Western politicians and academics dismiss these threats as a bluff, but should they do so? So 1945.com, they helped do a study for the Heritage Foundation. They say, we argue that Russia's threat to use nuclear weapons is primarily a tactic meant to scare Western audiences and thus weaken the link between Ukraine and its Western allies. However, we cannot be sure that Russia would not use nuclear weapons. Russia has an arsenal of up to 2,000 tactical nukes. There are four circumstances. Here's Russian doctrine. As Russia gets provoked to the point of nuclear weapons, it's supposed to be that there are four triggers. I'm just giving you the outline here. The four triggers for Russia to use it would be A, an imminent use of nuclear weapons against them. They see it coming. B, actual nuclear use. In other words, one goes off. A threat to inhibit Russia's control of its own nuclear weapons, like somebody's trying to seize it. Or a threat to the existence of Russia itself. That's the broad catch-all. Now, technically, none of those conditions right now apply in the Ukraine war. However, at a recent conference, it says Putin, who, by the way, is becoming a little bit more unhinged every time we hear from him. But keep in mind, this is the same guy who's the president, basically for life, who likes to post pictures of himself riding, you know, without a shirt on the back of a horse. I mean, just who does that? At a recent conference, it says Putin, citing his country's military doctrine, said that Russia could use weapons of mass destruction to, quote, protect its sovereignty, territorial integrity, and to ensure the safety of the Russian people. That, by the way, is an expansion of the doctrine. That is much bigger. That is just like, we don't like what's happening, and we think it's dangerous, so we may have to use them. That's a complete expansion from long-held Russian doctrine on the use of nukes. All right, here's the thing. Putin and his allies have framed the Ukraine war in existential terms, meaning if NATO seizes Ukraine, that Russia will consider itself to be next, therefore labeling it an existential threat, therefore it fits within their doctrine, even if Putin is, you know, not expanded it. All this to say, it's a difficult time right now. The war in Ukraine is, do not see this as purely a war of attrition with us writing lots of checks. Those are happening, certainly. This is also a war in which one of the parties is becoming more and more unstable, is using up its resources to the point that it's getting to the point of embarrassment on the world stage, and it has over 2,000 nuclear devices. What happens if it becomes so unstable? I mean, how many times have we seen a movie where the thread line of the movie script was the unstable former Soviet bloc country that lost control of its nukes and a terrorist got one? That's not an unreasonable assessment. Lastly, I'll point out that Defense One has a great article. I won't even go into it because we're about out of time. But it just talks about the fact that despite the war in Ukraine, that China is still considered to be our biggest threat. And China holds too many cards. We have issues with China and the COVID origins. We have issues with China and the fact that they unfortunately manufacture or at least have control over so much of the electronic chips that we use in our devices these days. And certainly we have China taking overt steps to send these spy balloons over our country. National insecurity, all right? I covered the war in Ukraine. I covered the downing of our drone. I covered our northern and southern borders. And I didn't even touch the scratch the surface of things that are going on right now. And what bothers me is all that's happening and more, and the Biden administration does not even seem to have a plan, a strategy, something we could say, okay, I get it. There's how it works. All right, listen, we got some more texts. Bryant from Huntsville is now excited that we have swag, so that's good. Amanda from Decatur texts in, says, Phil, in your own opinion, do you believe that we would have World War III, and if Russia uses nukes on another country, will the U.S. use nukes on Russia? I cannot say, Amanda. I mean, I think it depends on, first of all, I think if Russia begins using nukes, I think it definitely winds up drawing the United States into a ground war. I don't know that we could get around at that point. And then at the same time, would we have World War III? I don't know that it would escalate to that level. But if the United States winds up having boots on the ground because of a rogue nuclear use by Russia in Europe, then I feel certain that NATO would have to respond, and that becomes a much broader element. So tough stuff, man. Tough stuff. Lastly, we got a new texter, Sully from Harvest. Sully, glad you're in, man. Being in the text group with us, and hope you'll join us in the Right Side Ruffian bracket. Got another brand new text. Man, the new textures are dropping in like rain right now, man. Sam Glover from Trinity, he says, why can't you talk to the actual persons that are running this country instead of poor Joe with his notepad? We all know, except Joe, that he does have the capability to be our president. He doesn't have the capability to be our president. I don't know. In fact, I don't know who's pulling the strings, to be honest with you, Sam. Is it Susan Rice? Is it somebody else? I don't know. I don't think Biden is doing everything on his own right now. I agree with you. All right, let's take a break, Boomer. We'll do it. We'll take the break right now. We're going to come back and jump in the number two of the Triple Dipper, Spend It Like You Got It. And since Sam from Trinity is on board, he needs to know that Ernie Yarbrough from Trinity is about to call in. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.